All right, you can. We're going to be all over the place. Isn't that wonderful? So you just better be ready. But we are seeing in this these studies that the Lord has been emphasizing how beyond set apart we are to God. I mean, we're His, and He wants us for His own. And it's amazing how He does it and how He's drawn each and every one of our lives. How not a one of us desired that way, but He did. And He saw it. And the wonderful, perfect lifetime of events that continue to draw us back to Him. Highs, lows, good times, as they say, bad times. Hurts, achievements. But by the grace of God and His faithfulness, He's always leading them to one place. And that's to this fellowship that we're talking about. In seeing how set apart we are, we've come to a study very precious to see the word holy and the word saint in the word of God is the same word. Whether in the Old Testament or the New Testament, it truly is the same word. I'm thankful how the Word of God to us has given us encouragement in different ways through that Word, which is the same Word. But yet, in opening this up to us, we see that holy and set apart and saint and exclusively His own, they're all the same thing. I want you. And I want you for my own, and I want you to be that vessel only for my use. And why would it not be that way when He was very open about it? I'm a jealous God. Isn't that amazing that He said that? I'm a jealous God. I'm jealous over you with a jealous love. It's kind of interesting that He says it that way, because we look at the word jealous and we don't like it. Matter of fact, the Word of God tells us that jealousy is crueler than the grave. But when God tells you that His love for you is jealous, you better be praising Him with everything you got. Because what He's telling you there is, I'm never going to cease from coming after you. I'm always going to pursue you because I love you. You understand that? Because you're my son. You're my son. And this is God. And parents in this life might have limitations. But I'll tell you what. This Father, He don't have one. And His love never ends. And His love will never cease. And His love is more intense than anything you'll ever know. And it's more perfect than anything you'll ever know. And it's wonderful because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He has the same love as His Father. And He's been given it in a manner for a wife that is unique and incredible. And here we are in this time, the church age, so graced and blessed that we are the vessels that He's chosen for us to have this glory for Him. Amen. It's amazing. And it's exciting. And so He tells us that really, we're exclusively His. And that it is His mercy and His love. It's the word of His grace that does it. See, even though that's what we are to Him, we have to grow up into that. You have to become, in faith, growing up in a realization of this amazing love. We are vessels of His mercy prepared afore unto glory. That's what's so incredible. That's what we're built for, made for. That's what God has intended for us with Him. And yes, as the Word of God says in 2 Thessalonians 1:10, He wants glory in the saints. I just love that. See, when He shall come, 2 Thessalonians 1:10, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe. See, there's a difference there. There's two, we've spoken of this many times. We see two different, basically, if you will, expressions of the truth in believers. You have a group, the saints, that have that glory in them. And then you have the believers that have admiration. That's a big difference. It's a huge difference. It's as big a difference as the child of God will be an heir of God. But we can be a joint heir together with Jesus Christ if we suffer together with him. That's how big a difference it is. It's a difference between ruling and reigning in the midst of the throne with him, as opposed to being in basically before the throne in an innumerable multitude with a palm in your hand, waving that palm, and the cry of your heart is salvation to our God. See, we understand that we are offered at this time salvation with eternal glory. Amen. That difference is stated all throughout the Word of God. And this is why we're here, and this is why the Lord has put us to this study, because that's what the Lord is after. As it says in Ephesians 3:21, he's after glory in the church. Do you know in most of his saints, there's not a whole lot of glory? This hasn't grown up. Amen? Think about what's the most glorious thing the Word of God even speaks of truly. And matter of fact, it's kind of the conclusion of it all in a way of the Word of God. It's that holy city. Isn't that amazing? She's called a holy city. Holy saint, set apart, exclusively mine. New Jerusalem. She brings in a double portion of peace. Amen. And what does she do? She descends from heaven. And what is the, you know, you think about descending from heaven. You know who descended from heaven was our Lord. I mean, that's quite a statement, isn't it? She really is like him, isn't she? She descends from heaven. Grace. That's what she is. She's just grace. Grace comes down. Right? And what does she have? Descends from heaven having the glory of God. Yeah. See, that's what holy does. See, when you allow that holiness to grow in your life, you'll never be any more holy, but it can grow up in your life. You can become a mature son of God. What happens is you grow from glory to glory into his image. See, it is really simple, isn't it? Because it always goes back and tells you the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. You know, I had a dad that did that. He told me over and over and over and over again. My natural dad. And you know what? I remember everything he said. And you know why? Because he said it over and over and over and over and over and over again. This is God. And you know about this bridal truth thing, as we're finding out? He says it over and over and over and over and over again, doesn't he? Because he doesn't want you to doubt this one bit. He wants you to cherish it as the prize, the keeping. I've kept the faith. The keeping of your life. The treasure of everything about you. It's your identity. It's your reason for being. It's everything. Hey, if I've got a God that's serious about me, I want to be that serious about him. Amen? All right. Now, the beautiful thing is like we see, she descends from heaven having the glory of God. But it doesn't end there, because it says in that same scripture, it says her light. See, she has his light, doesn't she? Amen. See, it's not again a reflection of a moon glory. No, It's glory within. It's a sun glory. And there's only one sun glory. That's him. That's his glory. But she's got it. And because she's got it, it's his glory. It's amazing how that works. She possesses his sun glory for him because she is like him. Because as the word of the Lord has told us, we have the message of Paul that if we will take it for ourselves, we will grow to the fullness and the measure and the stature of Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, it's just remarkable. But he wants a wife. He wants, if you will, he wants that equal for him. Know this, he will always be God. And I'm thankful he's God. But there's something he's done by his grace that those that will be like him. And I'll leave it at that. Praise his name. Now, we left off in the Holy of Holies. You remember that last week? We are encouraged in one sense, you could even say, because holy and saint is the same thing. It's the saint of saints. It's the place set apart. And I pray you understand, this is like in type. It was a place only for the use of the high priest. The place of intimate worship was only found there. It was the place where the high priest, the type of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen, and the cherubim were alone. That's it. There wasn't anybody else there. We saw that room was prepared, wasn't it? And we're talking about the Holy of Holies that was in Solomon's temple. When Solomon was told and instructed to build that temple, he built that room. And it was built for one, really, if you will, one item. But really, there were two, but really one. It was to fit the cherubim. Those giant cherubim. Oh, I love that. It's just exciting to think about them. They were perfect in measure and stature. 10 feet tall. Remember that. I love that. Responsibility according to ability. Just amazing. They grew up in the fullness of God. Everything that was the fullness the Lord had intended. They had the wings that were extended, showing that there was this overcoming glory and praise to him. But yet their heads were bowed, always in acknowledging, all because of the mercy of the Lord. You did it, God. Isn't that wonderful about our praise? Yes, amen. It's wonderful. We have these wings now that we just lift up to him all the time, don't we, when we pray? I love that. His encouragement of Solomon, he taught those people how to lift their hands and praise the Lord. Now, how sweet. In 1 Kings 6:25, going over there. In 1 Kings 6:25, it tells us, well, let's just even read the little part here about, again, these cherubim there. And within the oracle, this is verse 23 of chapter 6, 1 Kings. Within the oracle, this is means the Holy of Holies, he made two cherubim of olive wood, each 10 feet high. 5 cubits was one wing of the cherubim. 5 cubits was the other wing of the cherubim. From the uttermost part of the one wing unto the uttermost part of the other were 10 cubits. And the other cherubim was 10 cubits. Both the cherubim, listen to this, were of one measure and one size. Brothers and sisters, we're one. There's no difference. It's him. It's Christ. Amen. See, that's the beautiful thing. That's why in that truth, we truly love one another without any hypocrisy. I love you like that. I was expressing to a young lady, I love her in the truth just as much as I love anybody in the truth. I want her to win Christ's best just as much as I want anyone to win Christ's best. There is no difference in that passion and love. And if the other ones that don't want to go, don't want to go, I'm concerned about you. I want you to go. Get that? That's our family. So the height of the one cherub was 10 cubits, and so it was of the other. They're just alike. And he set the cherubims within the inner house, and they stretched forth their wings of the cherubim, so that the wing of the other one touched on the wall, and the wing of the other one touched the other wall. And their wings touched one another in the midst of the house. And he overlaid the cherubims with gold. I love touching your wing. I'm loving that all of the word we speak here by the grace of God is overlaying with gold. This is the king's doctrine. This is the ruling and reigning. This is what it is. And I thank God for this. See, some still don't see Christ in you, the hope of glory in these cherubim. I feel sorry for them that don't want to see this. I think it's kind of interesting because, you know, the cherubim, if you'll take them in Revelation chapter 4, why won't you take the type and shadow of the cherubim and the four living ones in Ezekiel, Isaiah, and right here? You understand what I'm saying? The Lord is speaking through these things. Sometimes it's hard for ones if you try to think about it in your head, but if you allow the scriptures to reveal it to you, I think it's so apparent, it's just like seeing you there. Amen? Can't you really see yourself in the Holy of Holies all the time? I was back in there with him. Oh, yeah. And you know what I mean by that. But some people have a hard time with that. But yet you don't have a hard time that our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was a pillar by night and a cloud by day and a rushing mighty wind. How could it be all those things? Oh, come on now. Come on. You want more glory for him? I want it. And I'll tell you what, he put it all in here. And in the word of God, it says it's of kings to search out a matter. You search these things out by the grace of God. I don't get down there and say, oh, Lord, I'm going to just search today. That'd be foolish. Foolish. Lord, I just want to enjoy you today. I want to know about you today. And I know your Holy Spirit, praise God, just readied to tell me everything and more. And I've just hitched my camel, and that's what we do every day. Do you know that? That's all I do every day. My wife again had to tell me, why don't you go outside? Why don't you go outside? I like it right here. I'm just fine. I'm glad people worry about me. But really, I'm just fine. I get a little intense sometimes. And maybe getting more intense. There's not really a whole lot to say anymore. You know, really isn't. But there's a lot to say here. Now, we have been set apart in this bridal glory. And we see that the word of God, even in Hebrews chapter 9, he says, the cherubims of glory. You go over there to chapter 9. Read verses 3 through 5. So you see, this keeps being brought out. There's something about this. And obviously we know how it concludes of these cherubims of glory as we see them as those four living ones there in Revelation. That company of the full overcomers that are seen there right after. He shows you the full overcomers of the Old Testament. Those 24 elders around the throne with their crowns. Oh yes, what a ruling they'll have. But they won't have the midst of the throne glory with those four living ones. They won't have that place. They won't have that place as the four living ones then are even referred to in Revelation. Can you imagine the Lord does it again? He calls them the seven angels. What's he doing? Why doesn't he just stay with just one thing and what he's going to call him? Because it's too deep. There's more. And this is God's way. And he does it here a little, there a little, doesn't he? You're never going to get this thing in one night, in one read through the Bible. I'm thanking God how anybody will take the Word of God and read it. But if you think you're going to know it just reading through it and blazing through it, that ain't going to happen that way. A lot of people ask me, where should I begin? I always tell them Romans pretty much all the time. John's not bad too. Lord could put you somewhere else, but I have to tell you, man, you understand that justified by faith stuff, you're on your way. You understand what a dirty wretch you are, and that is the grace of God, and you really take that, there ain't nothing going to stop you. You start really looking at the mercy of the Lord and getting giddy about that blood, you're going to launch out of here. That's what it's about. But in Hebrews 9, it says there in verse 3, and after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded in the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly. What are you saying there, man? We don't have enough time to talk about this. This is something you got to get alone with the Holy Ghost and let him begin to tell you about. Oh, yeah. And I'm sure at this time, too, and who he was speaking to there, they probably couldn't handle that truth at that time. Can you handle the truth? Yeah, he's prepared you for it. Amen. Now, let's go on back over to 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 7. This is exciting as we go on. We're going to spend a little more time tonight in that Holy of Holies. We know the Holy of Holies is the most, if you will, holy house. It's the most holy part. And the items that are of that holy house, they're the most holy things. So you got the most holy house, you got the most holy things. It's just holy, holy. Holy, Lord God Almighty, saints, 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 set apart exclusively his. I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. That's who you are. That's your praise. That's what this is. Thank you, Jesus. But here we are. But even in all that most holy, there is a place that is most holy. And it tells us right here of that most holy place in 2 Chronicles 5, 7. It says there, and the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house. That means, again, the holy of holies. Into the most holy place. And where was that? Under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their wings over the place of the ark. And the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. Okay, now, here we go. This is getting out there. Under those wings was the place that was set apart. It was the most holy. Think again about what was brought in there. That place that was prepared, what was brought in there was the ark. Upon that ark, as we know so sweetly, was that mercy seat. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But I want you to know this as well too. The word wings is the same word as the word skirt of Boaz. Think about that just for a minute. Now, wait a second here. Naomi was telling Ruth something, wasn't she, in that story? There's a place you got to get to. It's the most holy place. It's the most set apart place. It's the most intimate place. It's the place you're going to get that man. You got to get under that skirt. You got to get under that wing. Yeah. It's the most intimate place. And brothers and sisters, it always is the place that the Lord is after for you. And the place that he's after for him. You see, because he shares this with us. And that's what the mercy does. See, mercy brings you under, and it brings him under the skirt. The word of God also talks about this as the inner chamber. Isn't it wonderful? And Brother Webb, our precious elder, he prayed that. Go boldly to the throne of grace. And what is the first thing that it says to obtain? Mercy. Isn't that wonderful? Mercy. To obtain mercy. That prophet Hosea, he said, keep mercy and judgment. Wait continually on God. I love that. Keep mercy and judgment. How could mercy and judgment be together? Boy, that just seems like two totally opposite spectrums of everything. But no, that's not. Matter of fact, they're joined just perfectly. Because if you'll take all the mercy, you'll rule and reign with him in all judgment forever. Isn't that something? Oh my, it's just too easy to get, isn't it? Come on now, just be honest. You mean it really is about mercy and grace, and that really is it? Yep, that's it. It's all the transforming power, you understand that. It's not your excuse to fail, it's your reason to soar. Mercy and grace, your reason to grow. Mercy and grace, the reason by the grace of God, you change from glory to glory into the very image of him. Not by your works, not by your strength, not by your good deeds. It's by his mercy and grace. Why would it be that those cherubim look at nothing else but the mercy seat? Because that's where all the power comes from. Why? Because it's the place of the blood. It's the blood. He wants you to always see the blood. And not in guilt, but in mercy. And love. I poured it out for you. That's what you are to me. Everything that I am is in that blood. Everything. Every bit of the Father's love was in that blood. Everything. That's what sets you apart in the word of his grace is understanding his all-powerful mercy. Death to life everlasting is just the beginning of the incredible. It really is. Death to life everlasting is an incredible thing, but it's just the beginning. You go on and you go deep into that powerful blood and you'll find from the dung heap to a throne. And then he'll take you from the tents of Kedar to the curtains of Solomon. He's beginning to minister more to you, isn't he? I didn't die to just save you. I raised you. And I raised you with me. And I raised you seated together with me. I took you from dead in trespasses and sin to Paul's gospel to rule and reign and be exalted. Glorified together means exalted to the same glory as the I am. It's beautiful. Because he loves you so. That's how he loves this one that we know as the bride, the Lamb's wife. She's special to him. I mean, she's his glory. She's the one that he says, I'll make known to all that I've loved thee. Honey, they're going to come before you, which means us, which means one. And they're going to worship before your feet. They're going to bow down. They're going to know. You think that's mercy? That's mercy. Taken you from such extreme opposite of what we deserve. That's what mercy is. Okay? And that's the exchange he made, wasn't it? You think of that mercy, of what he became for us. He was taken from the extreme opposite and made the worm on the cross for us to have the complete opposite, dead in trespasses and sin, to receive this gospel, to rule and reign jointly with him forever. Amen. Now you see why I want you set apart. Now, here we go. That is why it's the most holy place under the wings of the cherubim. Because even under those wings of those, if you will, the two mighty cherubim, because that was the most holy place. And why was it? Because you know what? That ark was brought in there. So here were those two giant cherubim, wall to touching a wing to a wall. Their heads were bowed. They weren't looking at anything else but that mercy seat too. But then here under their wings, what was brought in was that beautiful ark. And they bring that in and they sat it under there. And we know that the ark contained those three wonderful items that the Word of God says. But the beautiful thing about the ark was the covering. It was the glory of the ark. It was the lid, also known as the mercy seat. One piece of beaten gold. Beaten. Amen. But it wasn't just a flat lid. Oh no. There was something that was coming out of mercy. Matter of fact, there's something coming out of mercy that was typed in that wonderful mercy seat. And it's coming out of mercy today. And it's the cherubim. It's that type and shadow of that full overcomer. Because they are the vessels of mercy. Do you see that out of that mercy seat were vessels of mercy? And they're gold. But they're beaten. And they're one with him. Because they're just like him. And here they come right out of the mercy seat. And then they look right back on the mercy. So they're one with mercy. And then their wings don't expand this way. They're covered like this. But they're touching too. Because that other fellow's on the other side of that mercy seat. And there's just all this mercy flying around. And then there's all this mercy down here. And then there's all this, the most holy place of mercy down here. So it must just be mercy. All right, now. Here you go. They all gaze at the mercy. All four of them cherubim. The two big ones and the two little ones. They're all looking at the mercy. You think that's what them four cherubim, those four living ones, what they're looking at when they praise him and give him all the thanks and the honor? You know, because you know what they're looking at? The Lamb. It's the Lamb. Get to that Lamb here as we close this up tonight. But these cherubims, brothers and sisters, that's you and me, if you'll see it. Put in the most holy place. Under the wings is the most holy place, the mercy, the blood, because it does it all. And how much power and love you receive from the blood determines your reward. And that is the truth, because it's all by the blood. See, without the blood, there's no remission of sin. And without the continued gaze on the blood, there will be no growth in the power and the meaning in the blood's fullness of grace and mercy. Without that gaze continually on mercy, brothers and sisters, there will never be an exalted rank crown. I know a lot of brethren that have been introduced to Paul's gospel. But they took their eyes off mercy. Oh, they could recite you very well, bridal truth. But with eyes not on mercy, you're not growing in bridal truth. You might be able to recite something, but it's not your own. It's a huge difference. That mercy will transform your life to love. And love beyond anything you'll ever imagine. You'll fall in love with the truth. Your life will be about the truth. Not just knowing it in a time or being able to recite it. It'll be about the truth. You'll do everything to have it. You'll be like a Jacob, so in love that I went 7 years and I got tricked. And I'm going another 7 because I won her. And at the end of it all, it only felt like a few days. Every one of us would have strung up Laban and took her early, be honest. But that ain't going to happen here, is it? Nope. Now, brothers and sisters, we end this where we kind of spoke of the wings. There's something about them wings. There's something about Boaz's skirt. Get it? The Lord pants and longs for us to enter into that fellowship in the inner bedroom chamber of fellowship. It's an intimate thing. It's not an odd thing or a weird thing. It's the thing we know as humans, which is that treasured between a husband and wife. It's the knowledge of the New Testament, that word, to know perfectly, completely, wholly, intimately, the knowledge of a husband and wife. That's what this is. The four living ones, the cherubim, made one in marriage with the Lamb, are seen made one with mercy of the Lamb in the Holy of Holies. And isn't it interesting? It's always the Lamb, isn't it? It's the Lamb slain. It's the Lamb's wife. He is all the glory, and that's why out of his mercy is all his glory. Out of his mercy come forth the cherubim. And by grace, that's you and me, the riches of his glory on his vessels of mercy. Amen. And I pray by grace we really get this, brothers and sisters, because without this full praise and love for that mercy, you won't win him. You won't. You'll come up short. It's understanding that. You'll find, and I'm confident we'll go into it, you'll be astounded of all the verses that point to praise him for his mercy. To rejoice in mercy, to walk in mercy, to love mercy, to embrace mercy, to praise him for his mercy till he come. Does that kind of make you understand a little bit why you get so mad at yourself? Because you're not very faithful, are you? He's the faithful one. Amen. And it just breaks me to know how faithful he is. All the time. All the time. I'm so thankful that he's so good. I'm so thankful that he is so loving. I am so thankful that he is the one that is always the one to thank and to glory in. and to appreciate. I'm so thankful that he must increase and I must decrease. And that mercy does it. It has a way of seeing who I am but for Christ. It has a way of taking all of those things back. And all I see is the one righteous one. That none of us sought him out. None of us were seeking him. People talk about that. No, he sought you. Dead in trespasses and sin. Not a thought of God. That's why it's such a rejoicing for our brother, sister. That's why it's so wonderful to thank the Lord for my elder who is with him. Because he got it. And so many Christians looked at his life. They didn't know him. They didn't know the one that was after Paul as he was after Christ. Man, always looking for a perfect man. They're going to get one here. Going to be known as an Antichrist. Oh, he's going to come in so perfect. And the world is going to wonder after him. He'll even deceive those for a time that should have known. I can't tell you how thankful I am to look on your heart. Honey, I thank him for you. I thank him for you. It's marvelous. We come in here. We thank him for the mercy upon our brother and sister in the Lord. That you love that. That there is nothing else to praise but him and that. To come in here to praise him in the heights of that mercy. That he is readying us for the moment of the manifestation of those sons. That's incredible. You're incredible. You little vessel of mercy. Isn't it wonderful? Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.